The Redneck Tech Podcast is brought to you by MikesArchery.com. They're a one-stop shop for virtually everything archery, bow hunting, and for your next outdoor adventure. Mike's Archery has been at the top of the archery game for over 50 years, and they want to give listeners of the Redneck Tech Podcast 10% off their entire online store using the code REDNECK10, all one word. Just put the code in before you check out, and your boys will hook you up. The guys at Mike's have always been good to us, and now they can be good to you too. Visit MikesArchery.com and get your gear now.
Right here. Yeah. You want him? Yeah.
Welcome back to the Redneck Tech Podcast. If you're an astute listener, you will have already noticed I am not Caleb. I am indeed Red Velvet. Caleb is doing El Presidente stuff down in the office.
Do you know what number this is?
Number 50. 150.
150 episodes. Boy, that's kind of a big deal.
That was like a James Bond moment. They call this episode 50. 150. Yeah, that is a lot.
Super Bond like.
Look, that was a solid recovery. I did know the number. I forgot the first.
I wanted to know because I didn't know the number.
The number is 150, and it is called something. And I'd tell you if I could remember what exactly I typed into.
You'll read what it's called, but yeah. We're gonna talk about photography in the way that it pertains to social media.
Why do we even say the episode number? If they're listening to it, they would have seen it. It's all redundant information.
I just did it because Caleb always used to forget, and every time I ever listen to a podcast, I'm always like, I wonder if he's going to forget this time. Because it was fun for like 30 episodes straight. Nobody ever knew what it was.
We just operate on a wing and a prayer sometimes.
You know, long-time listener, like seven-time player.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
You use that joke episodes ago. It's not funny anymore.
I use a lot of jokes all the time.
I know. It's still funny.
It's like your mom jokes are just, they're funny. You know? Just, they don't get old.
Well, we've derailed already. Nice.
Yeah, today we're going to be talking about shooting photography specifically, and as it pertains to social media, I may not actually be the best person to even speak on this because my usual style of photography and how I shoot does not often lend itself, as I've been told, to social media. And I also am not the one who does the social media stuff here. Well, that would be Keegan. He is certainly more knowledgeable on social media than I am. He's got his fingers on the pulse, as they say, of the ever-growing monster that is social media.
It is truly a monster.
He's been doing it for a long time, so he's really been able to amass a wealth of knowledge on that and also doing photography.
You've given a lot of lead up here for that'd have been a great outro. Anyway,
the meat of this podcast is shoot pictures and post them. That's all. See y'all next time.
Honestly, that's a good start. Really?
Yeah.
Just take pictures and post them. Be critical of your pictures. Don't just post randomness. That's not okay.
So when you say critical, in what ways? Are you talking about critical as in quality of pictures? Are you talking about critical as in curating a feed and a theme? Or critical as in an aesthetic?
I think as a basic level start, you want to post your best pictures. Obviously you can't post your best picture all the time. There's only so many of your best picture that's physically capable. But a quality that you start to use, you want to stick to that quality. That's very important. Just in framing, color, the way you edit it, you know, all of those things need to keep the quality high. Very important, and something I see very common on social media and people who are talented and have a lot of potential as photographers that just don't seem to always post things that are going to help them. They're not putting their best foot forward all of the time. You know, sometimes you can really love a picture, but if it's out of focus or it's blurry or the colors aren't quite right, you know, that may not be the best thing to be showing off for yourself.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. And I think striving for that, the difficult part, I think sometimes, especially as a shooter, when you are shooting for social media, you have to balance trying to get a lot of content, but also trying to get good content.
Yeah.
And that can be a very tough line to balance, and you have to really find kind of the middle ground, because we had a podcast talking about this before, but I mean, if you are really searching for the best image, you know, you may shoot for 2 or 3 days to get one magazine cover. You may set up for hours for one magazine cover. If you're shooting content, oftentimes that's not a luxury that you're afforded. And the priority is placed on filling buckets and filling libraries of diversity, of diverse content, which means that usually you have to work faster and shoot more, which butts heads with trying to maximize the quality of something.
Yeah, and I think kind of what I'm getting at is in the middle of the two things that you just spoke on, in the fact of there is that magazine cover that's on that top tier level that you absolutely have to wait for the best moment, the best look, the best focus, the lighting, everything. And while you still want to strive for those things in photos that are going to live on social media, you kind of come up from where you're talking about just filling those buckets and kind of meet in the middle of that. Mm-hmm. You shoot with a goal, and a lot of it is just being able to, say, shoot with that platform in mind. You want to capture, like you're saying, your buckets of content of dogs and birds and deer and elk and the hunter and tracking and, you know, all of those things depending on what your genre is. You know, if it's fishing, you obviously want to capture the lures. You want to capture the motion and the reactions with the fishermen. You want to capture the actual fish. Get your, like, grip and grin trophy shot with that fish. And then figuring out ways to go in between all of those things and capture the moments that maybe not everybody thinks about. That part for me was kind of what took my photography to a little bit different level, and what I think helped me a lot was I took, especially in the waterfowl world that I came from, I took the like basic moments and then I like twisted it a little bit. It's not maybe the right word, but it kind of gets on par with what I'm getting at. To
twisted it thematically or twisted it physically? The camera.
Well, I've twisted myself into a lot of goofy positions to get these photos.
Sure.
I'm getting at is just like you have your basic photos that everybody loves, but that little bit different angle kind of gets your style and establishes more of that different look that kind of draws people in, that gets their attention. And with social media and the way that everybody goes through it, you have to be able to get some attention.
Mm-hmm.
But to circle back, before you can do all of that, you have to be able to get high quality images to be able to portray all of that, to make those few images that really are moving to you and your audience, to get those to mean something. And in the way where you're a good example of this, you're an incredible photographer. But the way that you're shooting the photo is for an art form that is not the 9x16 screen that is the phone. And a lot of your really, really amazing photos don't necessarily fit in the social media platform because they won't impact the same.
Right.
For example, Instagram kind of took away the rule of thirds.
Yeah, I did. I did want to talk about that because...
Which is kind of appalling as a photographer.
Well, I feel like for potentially keeping the podcast on rails, I almost want to go a little bit chronologically and maybe take a step back and start from the beginning as far as
let's do that. Somebody
contact, because I do want to cover what I think you're about to cover, but I want to start maybe with...
Boy, right. Somebody mark this on the calendar. This is a holiday. It is June the 15th at 1528. Ryer.
That's 328 for you civilians out there.
Ryer re-railed the podcast.
I re-railed it. Call me Mr. Engineer.
I just derailed it. Nice. All right. Back to the beginnings.
So, the first thing.
7 years ago.
The first, I'd wanted to do an Abe Lincoln impression so bad, but I didn't. You guys will never know. I could be very good at that or very bad, poor.
You'll find out on TikTok.
Will we?
This won't die.
Oh. Okay. So I wanted to start maybe with kind of the initial approach, right? So when you get a call, and for simplicity's sake, let's say that the project is slated as being only photos, only primary use social media. They don't want website images. They don't need story images for, you know, an article. They don't need magazine covers. They don't need it, whatever, right? This is, they call you, they're like, hey, we need you to come do this thing for, let's go, 3 days. And take images that we can use on our social media.
Mm-hmm.
And because this happens more often than not, it's they just want general photography. They don't have anything particular that they maybe are really trying to focus in on. They're just like, we want general photography. So somebody calls you up requesting that. How does that inform your approach, and how do you go about approaching that? And I'll let you start, and then
so
I maybe we'll add my two cents at a different point.
I guess for me, obviously, to get a job like this, you've spoken with a brand, you've done your back-end research, you kind of know who these people are, you know what they've seen, you've talked to them about their goals with this. Social media being kind of a vague goal, just in the fact
vague?
Of... Yes. Like, social media
vague?
Is vague.
You said vague with an A.
It's V-A-U-G or V-A-G-U-E, whatever it is. Doesn't matter. Hi, I'm from Wisconsin.
Would think from Wisconsin you would say the A, right? Because if you have a bag, you would say big. So why would you, for a word that hey, is vague.
Remember when you re-railed the podcast?
Sorry.
2 minutes later, you derailed it.
I couldn't let that be.
Okay. Sorry.
My apologies. Continue, Mr. Vague. Floor is yours.
Train has
derailed. I even vacuumed it for you.
To those of you not watching, I'm so sorry.
The look of disappointment on Keegan's face.
This is why you watch the live. Anyway, so what I'm saying is, obviously, social media, Facebook, Instagram, is your typical pictures, Twitter, blah, blah, blah. There's other platforms. I mean, you could go into Pinterest and whatever.
Sure.
But call Instagram your generalized, and this goes for, like, you can look at this with just an individual's account as well. So you want to look at what the story and what the theme and what's happening with those images. Why are you taking those? Just to document general photography? Or are you trying to tell a story with each one of those images or the collection of those images? So for me, going into it, I know what my story is, and I know why I'm shooting those. Those are important. And if you have a story behind each image, and it's not just a random image, that means something to people. Whether they know it or not, that means something. Just subconsciously, they're seeing it, and it's a reason, and it tells people stuff. Stuff is good.
Stuff is good.
From there...
So are you gathering that... So you're gathering a lot of these things by asking the client very direct questions?
100%.
And also observe... Do you do kind of like... I call it market research, but not really. But if they come to you and say, hey, we want this thing, do you then go and look at kind of what they already have and try to work into that? Or do you go, well, they contacted me, they probably want my style?
So, obviously, every photographer has their style, mm-hmm. and not every photographer fits each brand.
Right.
So, there is a point in they've contacted me to do this, they are obviously going to get my style of imagery. So I more look at it as a background of looking at the brand, looking at who they are, where they came from, and what they're trying to do with their image, their brand, their products. And it's the same for an individual that's trying to do this for themselves and going on a shoot. You're looking at what you're selling. Even if you're not selling a physical product, you're selling yourself. You're selling who you are.
You can also sell the idea of something.
Correct. And all of that kind of goes into what you're shooting eventually. So like me with a big background in waterfowl, you know, we're obviously trying to tell the story of the waterfowl hunt. Not only shooting birds, you're talking about the dogs, what they're doing in the blind, the people that you're with, you're capturing the emotions of what's happening, you know, the happiness, the sadness, the just pure disgust when somebody misses a layup shot. So you're kind of thinking about that stuff when you're shooting, and then you're looking at how you can take your eye and your style in photography and shooting those images. Does that kind of make sense with what you're getting at?
Yeah, and I think it's also important to, especially if somebody comes to you and is very vague about things, I think it's important for you as a creative to try to get as much information about their intent and their expectations mm-hmm. and their use cases as you can. Now, I mean, all of us who have done this for any period of time will say that oftentimes they really don't know. And you may not get a whole lot of answers, right? So you just kind of have to use your best professional judgment in those cases. But sometimes they're very specific in what they want and how they want it. And God bless them for it. It makes your job a lot easier. I know that I personally, like, your approach to how you shoot something mm-hmm. is very dependent on, like, is this a brand? Is this a product? Mm-hmm. Is this a person? Is this a TV show? Are we doing this for sponsors? And like what, like you said, what is kind of their identity?
Mm-hmm.
Some brands and products and sponsors don't want images that are, let's say, less or less. They want obvious imagery. I didn't know how to mm-hmm. say that. Like, they want to see the product, like, very literally. They don't want, like, implied product. They don't want the product to be very small. Like, you look at their page and it's just like product, right? And there's some brands who like to do that a little bit more subtly. And there's some brands, like, I would call
those lifestyle brands.
Right.
So.
Yeah, so there's brands who, they obviously have a product, but you go and look at their social media, they're not shoving the product in your face as much as they are...
They're selling the action of using yeah, said product.
Or portraying the lifestyle surrounding mm-hmm. that product. They're selling you more of the idea of what that product... Like, they want you to think about you using that product mm-hmm. in these idealized scenarios. So that you're like, oh, if I get this product, I can do these cool things. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I'll look like doing those cool things. You know, if I'm shooting, because this happens often, this is not necessarily a use case for a lot of guys, but like if I'm shooting photography for a TV show, well, I know that people want to see the hosts of the show. Mm-hmm. The hosts are really the central driving component of that photo shoot. And if you have sponsor products, I've found that the sponsors don't want to see necessarily just like a hand with a product.
Mm-hmm.
They want to see, like, they need to connect that celebrity person and the product in a recognizable way. And so just knowing some of those things when you go into a shoot can kind of help inform and bias how you shoot, right? Because I think it's important to A, shoot to the client, but also shoot for yourself too. Because people do hire you for what they've seen you do and the things that you've done and your style both editing and compositionally and shooting. And so even if they maybe will only, you've only seen them use this kind of photography one, sometimes they haven't had any other photography that they can use, and maybe they would like other styles. But it also gives, you can sprinkle in those little pieces that are representative of you and your style, and oftentimes that's kind of that little bit of spark that will set you apart, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you can deliver a bunch of product imagery or brand imagery the same way that everybody else has, but you throw in a couple of extra pieces, a couple of things that you feel and find unique about you and your shooting, and try to take some of those pictures, and it just gives it that little extra kind of touch to it that will set you apart. And hopefully, you know, I mean, the goal is you take a bunch of pictures for somebody and they like them, and hopefully they call you back and want you to take more pictures for them. So I think it's important, one, obviously, to give them what you know they want and will use and will like, but don't get tied to it, because you can become tied to it. Like, do that, but also do some different stuff and do the things that you know in your head look cool or feel cool, and give it all to them.
On the specifically for social media end of that,
mm-hmm.
there is also, and you're absolutely right, you still have to be able to add your influence to that and the things that you look cool, but or that look cool to you. You have to be able to rein a little bit of that in, depending on what the goal of those photos is.
Sure.
Per client, company, brand, lifestyle, and then theme it towards that. And that kind of deals with framing and lighting. Framing in the fact of just how you're shooting that image has to go into that screen to impact the most people, audience, engagement for that particular company that's going to use that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, you know, if you take a landscape photo,
which I do,
and your real hard rule of thirds, and it's formatted as a landscape photo out of camera, now all of a sudden you crop that into a 4x5 or a 1x1, that photo completely loses its allure.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I see causing a lot of issues on social media a lot of times, and why people who are incredible photographers just don't seem to catch on. And it's because, and there's a way to do that as an art for yourself, but as somebody shooting for a brand specifically, that starts to make a brand maybe not want to call you back again, because those images that you gave them that they paid for aren't fitting for what their intent is.
I think it's also important to understand that oftentimes the people who will be posting these images do not understand photography or images. Sometimes they don't really even understand social media, and they don't understand that you can reframe things, you can crop. And so they'll see a picture, they think the picture is cool, they throw it on Instagram to post it, and then they just get that center square out of it. So you had a nice 16:9 and it's the center square cut out, and then it ends up on the feed and they're going, well, why do all my pictures look weird? Like, why, how come my product or this person isn't in the center of the image? Why do these images feel like they're lacking something?
And that's where, when you go to deliver a package of images, to either take that one image that you really like in, say, your 9x16, and maybe you deliver that, and you deliver one that's specifically for, say, the Instagram platform that's already cropped and it's already done.
Right.
So that they can't mess that up. Or you just don't deliver those 9x16s in that social media bundle. If you want to still deliver that in a separate entity and just say, these are the same photos or some of the same photos that we took on the trip that I think you're really going to enjoy, but these aren't directly for that. These are just a little added bonus. Here's some sprinkles on the top of your ice cream cone.
Right.
What I wanted to say about lighting, too, is as you scroll through a brand's social media page, obviously they're going to have a theme of things that they like. Mm-hmm. So how you light photos, how you edit photos, and then how you end up delivering those photos have to kind of fit into said brand's feed. And that goes just for an individual as well. You know, if you have very low contrast images on your feed and you deliver a real high contrast image and that you put that up, it's going to look very appalling and very different and very noticeable in not a positive way. While it may be a banger image and look really cool on its own, when it fits into that whole group, all of a sudden it doesn't mix.
And I think there's something there to be said about if you are an individual and mm-hmm. you're an artist and trying to use your Instagram for commercial purposes. And by commercial, I mean marketing yourself, whether that's growing it to a point where it's able to be monetized or getting work from it. You have to pay attention to things like that.
Oh, 100%.
And I could say this because I, as a photographer, use my personal feed as like, these are images that I think are cool that I took.
Your personal feed is a great example of this.
Yeah, that I'm proud of. And I, as a photographer, I don't want to ever feel like I'm tied to something. If I feel like I want to switch my style or I want to do something different or mess around with something or I took a panorama that I think is awesome, I'm putting it up there. I know that that's not ideal for the algorithm for growing the social media, but that's not what I'm using it for. But if you are using it for that and you're trying to develop an audience and you're trying to develop that, mm-hmm. people to some extent want to know what they're going to see. And that's why when you look at a lot of these accounts that are very big in photography, you'll notice that they have an aesthetic and a look, and it's repeatable and it's very consistent, and people want that. And so, you know, if that's what, like you said, if that's what you're going for, if mm-hmm. that's your goal with social media, then you need to be cognizant of that. If that's not your goal, if you just want to take cool images and put them on your Instagram, I'm a big supporter of doing that too.
Heck but, yeah. I'm all for that.
But it's not necessarily marketable.
And that's...
It's hard to market, for sure.
And literally why I have, like, my personal Instagrams separate from Cope. I have my business that I've ran for several years, mm-hmm. and I have a friends and family page, per se. That's just, I thought this was cool.
Right.
But this doesn't fit on the aesthetic of what I've built. I just think this is cool, and I think people will like this. Mm-hmm. So it's one where...
Or I like it, I'm proud of it, so you guys get to see it. I don't care. If you like it, cool. If not, then...
It's just all things to think about when you're using imagery for social media.
Right.
And brands are going to start to see what you're putting out. And if that fits their MO, then they're going to call you. Or they're going to call the other guy whose brand fits their MO a little bit more. And that's great. I mean, there's plenty of food in the ocean for all of us.
And again, especially a brand who's paying you to do mm-hmm. something, they do want to know what they're getting and what to expect. Right, so if your photography is all over the place, well, to people who aren't looking at it as an art form but are looking at it as a means to marketing mm-hmm. and growth, that shows that you either don't have repeatability, you don't have consistency, or they just can't be certain what they're going to get from you. And for somebody spending money, especially business owners, mm-hmm. that's not an attractive prospect for them.
And you see this very apparently in the wedding industry, in the fact that some wedding photographers are very light and airy, almost a little overexposed in a lot of it. Mm-hmm. They're just, that's their look.
Yeah.
And some are very dark, some are in between. But if you're getting married,
deep oranges, or you've got the crispy greens.
Mm-hmm. And that's their brand as a photographer. And you hire that photographer because that's what you want your images to look like.
Right.
And that's where, like me personally, I take a lot of inspiration out of the wedding industry mm-hmm. And how they portray themselves and how they use their imagery to tell the story. And I think that's something that's incredibly important as a creative to pull images or pull ideas from other brands and other realms rather than what you are in. Mm-hmm. You know, I consume very little hunting content as like a creative inspiration because I don't want my imagery to look like
everybody else's.
I consume a ton of weddings, surfing, snowboarding, skateboarding, motocross, stuff like that because it applies so well when you bring that into the hunting world. Mm-hmm. But it looks nothing like a lot of the hunting world. And I think that, to some degree, that's very important, especially on social media because it allows you to stand out.
Which is tough to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's very tough to do, especially brands, especially hunting brands. Hunting brands are just very – hunting brands and, like, I guess they're brands is a very broad term. When I say brands, oftentimes what I'm talking about is, like, a company with a product.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also, like, a web show could be a brand.
Yeah, I would call each individual page on social media a brand.
Yeah, I think that brands with products are able to – differentiate themselves in that they have product.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a content creator or an influencer or you have a web show or something, it is even harder to separate yourself because your product is the content that you're delivering.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that too often people don't think enough about, okay, what do I really have that's unique here? They just think, oh, well, I can film my hunts. I can take pictures of this, that, and the other. I can do this and put it on social media, and boom, that's your magic potion.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get just a lot, like a lot of the same kind of stuff. And that's why people probably do it, and they find that, oh, it's actually really tough to develop anything here.
And that's
like
where
you have to find the thing and mm-hmm. separate yourself somehow. Like there's a secret sauce, and everybody's secret sauce is a little different, and your secret sauce may change, but everybody's got a secret sauce, whether you know you do or not. You know, like I couldn't point to whatever special secret sauce I have. I guess it's probably just ADHD.
Every time somebody uses that analogy, I think of the secret sauce from every restaurant. That's just Thousand Island.
The same
and
secret
it's the
sauce.
Same. Yeah. But you know what it is? It is the same for everything. It's just branded differently.
Yeah.
It's a different name on that secret sauce, and that's what makes your sauce special and my sauce special.
Everybody has special secret sauce.
But back on...
Don't. There it is. But also, if you want to continue with the metaphor of the secret sauce, that's all being the same, it's contextualized differently. While it may be the same sort of thing, it's just every one of them is a little different. It's like McDonald's and Burger King are serving the same things in much of the same ways. But they do things just a little bit differently, and you might like Burger King, and I might like McDonald's mm-hmm. more.
And that actually kind of ties into engagement pretty well.
Look at us tying things together.
Fact that you're going to find that images on your particular social media or images that you take are going to be perceived differently, but call it brand social media. The way that they're going to find an image or a section of images that do really well. And there's a point where you need to continue to push those things. And that's kind of ties back into theming and framing and lighting and all together.
What have you found... generally, if you had a general rule of thumb where somebody's like, hey, what does well right well, now, obviously
it's going to depend on your audience to a T. You know, you talk about the McDonald's Burger King analogy. Their audience is slightly different. Mm-hmm. While it's still somebody that likes a hamburger. So take this as whitetail hunting or waterfowl hunting. They're still that. But then now all of a sudden you have the rifle hunters, bow hunters. And then you narrow that down a little bit farther and a little bit farther in each one. And each brand that's catering to that group is going to have the things that click with their audience. And once your audience gets a little bit larger, you tend to see a little bit more broad spread engagement from those images. But you're still going to have the ones that do better. You know, if you're a big elk hunter and you post a picture of a mule deer, you're probably not going to do that picture's not going to do as well because your audience is catering towards your photography or circular around elk hunting.
Well, they're expecting. That's what the content they are expecting.
Correct. So, like, again, my background, waterfowl. If I post a bunch of not bird pictures or waterfowl themed.
Not bird pictures.
Well, I'm, yeah, ducks, geese, yeah, and even pheasants do well, turkeys do well. It's still in the, like, wing shooting world. Quail, all that. But if I start posting a bunch of, like, deer pictures, when my audience is catering towards the wing shooting world, the dog training world, the deer pictures aren't going to do that well because that's not what my audience is. So finding who your audience is very important, and that's how you can kind of tailor your photography to some degree. You know, you can tie all of that into what we've already talked about, from your theme, your brand, the way that you shoot photos and your little sparkle on everything. Mm-hmm. If your audience is accustomed to one thing and that's why they like you, then when you differ from that to a large degree, it's okay to differ, but to a large degree, you're going to see limited success off of that imagery.
Or it's going to take, there's going to have to be a reset where you may lose engagement for a while. You may lose followers. You may lose status or whatever. And you'll have to rebuild with new people who like the new thing that you're doing.
Well, and that's where a lot of this, like you see, you know, obviously what we do in the hunting world is seasonal. And there are different seasons for things. So to be able to keep up with that, you know, when you change with the seasons, is very advantageous. But you're still keeping your same core. You know, you're still keeping your framing. You're still keeping your lighting. You're still keeping your edit style. And you're still keeping your photo style as a creative. But you can change with those seasons and slowly mold your way into that. To go from deer season to duck season to turkey season into fishing, back into deer hunting. You know, you can do that as the seasons progress successfully. But it just, as long as it's still your brand. And that's where we talk about shooting for individual brands that are absolutely doing that. You know, most companies do not just have a product. They have a set of products that translate year-round to be able to use those images. And if it's turkey season, they're not hitting the elk hunters hard because the elk hunters aren't thinking about elk hunting. They're thinking about turkeys.
Right.
And it's the same as, you know, fly fishing. The fly fishing world's engagement is not going to do very well when it's February.
Right.
It's cold. Unless you're a diehard, you're not thinking about fly fishing. It's just kind of a... Thinking about what you're using that imagery for is very important when it comes to social media. And thinking about why you're using that image at this time. Just because you took this image today, maybe today is not the best time to play that. Maybe it's to push that back a little bit and then use that when it makes more sense to your audience, to the season, to what story you're trying to tell at that time.
And like you said with the brands, is figuring out what those images are for them, and being aware of where you're at and what you're shooting for. You know, like, is it turkey season? Okay, well, we need to go get some specific turkey stuff, like a bow, let's say. Well, we went through the whole year, and they're like, okay, well, we need some turkey stuff for the bow. Okay, well, now you got to get turkey stuff with that bow. Oh, it's mule deer? We got to get mule deer stuff with the bow. It's elk? We got to get elk stuff with the bow.
And this...
You know, and especially, like, the great thing is, one, if you go on a trip and there's a brand, luckily you're kind of tied to the season, right? You're going to shoot what needs to be shot because it's the season. You can't go and you can't shoot a turkey season bow shoot in September on an elk hunt. You can if you're really creative about it, but you wouldn't, right? If you're shooting a turkey hunt, you're going to be kind of tied to it. But the nice thing is as a photographer, hopefully you develop kind of a client base, and you can say, hey, we got like turkey season's coming up. Do you guys have turkey imagery? Do we need to go maybe get you some turkey imagery as the landscapes start to change and look like turkeys? Or do we need to get some of your product down here where there's a turkey season already open so that you can start having imagery for the season? Oh, it's elk season. Do you guys have elk imagery? Like being able to understand the client's needs, and you know, you're much better. I'm not the marketing guy.
Well, this
I'm
is
not, but,
this is where
but
it ties
a way
back into the buckets that you were talking about earlier,
right?
When you were talking about shooting a lot of content. So, and by a lot of content, I will add this: it's a lot of quality content, not just a lot of images.
Although I will say,
because
that
then
there
I say
is,
this because I shoot thousands of images a day.
You do shoot a lot of them,
and we'll only edit a select few that are quality,
right?
Which is very important. But my point in the where you were talking about the shooting the buckets. So last year you shot, you know, say you delivered 300 images for turkey season. Well, next turkey season, they've used 30 of them, 40 of them maybe, and then they've moved on with what they need. But now next season, all of a sudden you have all those other images that may not have gotten used that now that brand can promote turkey season when it's coming back up. Mm-hmm. And when everybody's thinking about turkeys again, and it's not turkey season because you just don't have the ability to get that content when it's not turkey season.
Right.
But because you shot all that extra stuff and you went through and you told the story completely, now you have a completely another set of images that those clients can benefit from, mm-hmm. which is something that's super important. And especially like an individual that they're... Say there's a lot of people who are big elk hunters. You have a very limited time to be in the elk woods and elk hunting. But if you shoot a lot of the images and quality that are around that, you now have content that outlasts just the limited elk season,
mm-hmm.
which is in social media world is incredibly important because people are still engaged in that, but they're really engaged in it right ahead of the season. So it's hard as a starting photographer to capture all of that and to do that. But as you get into it a couple years and you're shooting with that kind of mindset that you know what is upcoming on social media and you know the content that you're going to need, and it goes for photos, videos, whatever, you know, you have that now coming into it,
mm-hmm.
which I think is very important and something that a lot of people don't think of. And then all of a sudden they're looking at their other brands and pages and the rest of the world that's now pushing a particular season, and they don't have anything because they weren't out there. But as you develop as a photographer and you start thinking about this stuff, now you've pre-planned these images, you've saved a few of them so that you can push that until you can get back in that situation and start shooting those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's important having an awareness of that kind of stuff, whether it's seasons, whether it is just things that are important to
mm-hmm.
the general society, to the brand, to the individuals, and just understanding like what's coming up. Because you're rarely, especially if you're creating a library of content for a brand, like, you have to be thinking that they're going to use a lot of this stuff throughout the year. And you're rarely shooting for, like, the next week, right? You're shooting in advance. And you see the good brands understand this, and they get that content, and sometimes they bank it for a year until it's relevant.
Mm-hmm.
But every time you see a brand and they always have something for that particular thing, whether it's, you know, like, oh, they've got a bunch of Christmas themed imagery. Well, they didn't shoot that at like probably this year. That probably got shot last year. Or they set it up beforehand and shot it, right? They thought about it and were like, okay, we'll need to do this for Christmas, or we need to have something for Thanksgiving, or okay, it's 4th of July. Okay, it's great example is Sitka's Memorial Day stuff. Like, somebody didn't just come into the office and go, hey, guys, it's Memorial Day. What do we got? Right? Like, they probably, especially because of the what they did. But, like, that was talked about weeks in advance. And so, one, just understand shooting-wise that sometimes what you're shooting is not for today, tomorrow, next week, this month. It could be for next year. So making sure that you have imagery that is quote-unquote evergreen and able to be used in a year and it doesn't date itself. But also making sure that you're providing, like you said, enough imagery so that they can put the imagery out immediately and still have some for next year. And hopefully it becomes a circular cycle where you're out shooting that thing, they get the content. Once they run out again, like, you're back shooting it again.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously that's easier said than done. It takes a lot of good planning on the part of a company and on part of whoever is managing their social media and their marketing and also being tied in with that company to have that kind of relationship with them where it's cyclical and you have repeat work. But, like, if you give a brand imagery and they find themselves using that imagery over and over and over again, you're way more likely to get somebody to call you back.
Well,
and go, hey, let's shoot again.
Yeah, and even to just touch on, like, an individual basis of somebody who's not necessarily shooting for brands, mm-hmm. who's just shooting, who wants to be relevant in a social media platform with their photography and show off their art form. You know, you have, column A, you have to get out and do it.
Yeah.
And you have to spend a lot of days in the field. The imagery that you see that's really good, and there's a lot of really good imagery, is because those people busted it and spent a lot of days in the field shooting to be able to get that content. You know, you think there's 365 days in a year, mm-hmm. most years. And you have to, in theory, have access to 365 of the same quality images. That's very hard to do if you only can get out and shoot a couple weekends a year.
Well, a great example of that is we, for sake of not throwing anybody under the bus, I won't use client names, but we have a client who the people who worked for them previously didn't do photography. They did videos and edited videos, but they didn't do photography. So once, maybe twice a year, they would hire a photographer and come do a photo shoot and grab a bunch of buckets of content, which is fine. It's great. You get a lot of photos that way. But we obviously all are pretty multi-talented. And we don't just video, we also do photography. And we do a decent amount of it and at a high quality, high level of quality. And so one of the first things they said was, like, holy crap, you guys have given us a lot of imagery. Like, our sponsors are super, super happy with the amount of imagery we've gotten, how quickly we've gotten the imagery and how good it is, and, like, just how much there is. And all of that came from, the point of me saying this is, we were there with cameras and we took pictures for the entirety of a hunting season. Like, you develop a very large library. And this also goes into a question that Tim had, like, how do you guys get photos while also being the main videographer? Or do you guys always have 2+ guys in the field?
Hope and pray.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely have to kind of bias one way or the other. We had this conversation, yesterday?
There's a level that you can do both.
Yeah, obviously there is a level that you can do both.
You have the hardest one that's your main goal,
yeah,
and your main job, and that has to be your focus.
Right.
But there are almost always opportunities to take photos of doing things that do not necessarily need to be videoed.
Sure. And there's also like, okay, well, I've gotten this entire situation on video enough for the edit. Again, shooting with the purpose in mind, like, okay, I know what this is being used for. Mm-hmm. And I am an editor, so I like, I know I got the building blocks. So now put the video camera down, grab the photo camera. Ideally, of course, yeah, you'd love to have a videographer and a photographer. And, you know, that I always hate that I have no good still images of animals that are alive. Because live animals have to be on video. And in that situation, I don't get the chance to be like, okay, I'm going to swap, right? So, yeah, do you miss some things by being video primarily or photo primarily? Yeah, that's just part of it. But there's a lot of, like you said, situations where you can either go, ah, this isn't going to go in the episode or isn't going to go in the film or isn't going to do this. I can take some pictures. There's also a lot of situations where you've gotten what you need video-wise. Take the pictures.
Well, and that's where, like, in the theme of what we're talking about, you know, if you're shooting photos for social media and if your goal is to gain a bunch of social media stuff, is when you have the time to shoot those photos of live animals and the action of, you know, somebody drawing back on an actual deer or raising their gun up on a duck coming in, because your goal is that.
And wherein, no, pulling stills from a video is not the same.
No, don't do that.
It is not the quality. And if it is mixed in with professional, like, DSLR mirrorless photos, it's incredibly apparent, unless whoever pulled it knows what they're doing.
Yeah, don't do that.
You can't just pull out a video. And every time I hear people ask me if I can do it, the answer, unless it's like an incredible moment that needs to be on social media, I'll be like, no, it doesn't work like that.
Well, the difference between what resolution wise, when you pull a still, approximately what would you say it is, megapixels?
I don't even know. I don't know what my camera shoots megapixels wise, but it's not even equivalent.
Very low in comparison to my D850 that shoots at 46.
That's 4K, just my point. 1920, especially, even 4K. Like, I think I did it one time because I shoot time lapses on my stills camera. Obviously, I stitch them together, and so I did it so that it was the full size in Premiere, and it was like 8K, 10, 8, 9, 10, like, it was ridiculous. You're not even touching it with a 1920.
Yeah, don't do
You're
that.
You're not even touching it.
You see that a lot, and it's really bad.
Also, video inherently has a motion blur, so you can't just pull any frame. You have to pull the exact right frame. Sometimes it works, like,
but
you can pull them from, like, a red sometimes, especially if it's in a raw image format.
The answer is no. The answer is don't do that.
I just wanted to put that caveat because that does happen often.
I know.
And more than it should.
It's bad. Don't do that, guys. Please don't do that.
Also, social media people, managers, don't do that, because when I film video horizontally, it doesn't look good, like what we said, when we put it in a square.
That is a in the same realm of what we're talking about, is kind of off the rails, kind of not on the rails. Obviously, on social media, video has become very apparent and very priority.
A lot of photographers have almost had to force themselves to start doing video in order to maintain relevancy.
Correct. And what I'm getting at in that is, when you're shooting something for social media, and this is why it's in the same of what we're talking about, you have to shoot it in the way that it's intended to be for social media. And I'm not saying take your camera and flip it on its side and film vertical. While that does work, it's silly and it doesn't work well. But you have to be able to shoot in a resolution then
that you can crop
into 16:9.
That resolution is 4K for anybody wondering. If you want to shoot horizontally and have the ability to crop to a 9:16, that is still full HD, so that would be 1080 by 1920. You can do that by shooting in 4K. If you shoot 1080 and then you have to flip it, you have to then scale your image up by twice almost.
Yeah, it doesn't look good. And it looks like crap. It's a mistake that a lot of people make, and you're going to regret it.
Like at that, just, at that point.
I just wanted to touch on the fact that everything that you shoot, be conscientious of what it's going to be used for. It's the same with photo. It's the same with video. Outside of social media, inside of social media, if you're going to take a photo that's going to go on a wall, you're going to shoot it completely differently than how you would in social media. While, yes, you can use the social media intended images for the wall, you cannot use the wall images for social media in the same fashion.
Right.
It's the same from what we're doing, filming a TV show to versus filming on social media. It doesn't work. You can use your social media stuff for that TV show, but just be very conscientious of where your end goal with that is going to be, and you're going to be a lot happier with the quality of the product.
Yeah, I will say, too, like what you said, for a lot of the images that I will deliver to clients, I don't often leave them in a 4x3. Like a lot of times I at least do an 8x10.
Every single image that I shoot, unless it's going to be like ultra wide, gets formatted to 8x10.
Yeah,
off the bat, immediately before I even edit it.
Really?
100%. Like 95% of my images, the first thing I do is hit R in Lightroom and resize it to 8x10, whether that's horizontal or vertical.
Interesting.
And that's in part because 95% of the photography that I do is intended to go on social media.
Right.
And that's in part why I wanted to talk about this today, because it's something that you have to think about, and it's something that's incredibly important. But it's, you know, I understand that we're kind of hammering that fact, but that's a fact that needs to be hammered.
I think it's, and we almost came to this earlier, but outside of the physical mechanics of shooting for social media and what you should be looking for, like you said, the rule of thirds has almost gone out the window.
Yeah.
And so from an artistic standpoint, while I love social media, it's great. What I hate about social media is that unless you compose for it, images do not perform.
Correct.
And I think
that's
that,
the intent of what we're talking about.
Yeah, and that to me is detrimental to, you know, to wax poetically about it, the art form as a whole. And I think that a lot of people don't understand, because they've shot only for social media, or they're shooting primarily for social media, they don't actually understand composition.
Well, and that's something that people need to take on themselves to learn. They need to know what rule of thirds is. There are a lot of photographers that I have talked to in the last several years of doing this that have never heard of rule of thirds.
There's also like 10 other like photographic compositional constants that you're like, if you compose your image this way, it will probably look nice.
And there's a lot of that you can use in social media and an image that's going into your phone.
Well, even if I crop to an 8x10 or a 1x1, I still will try to retain
absolutely a
compositionally sound image. Like, and that's just slapping your subject in the middle of a square, very rarely is that compositionally pleasing.
There is a value to doing that.
Right. Social media likes it like that. It performs well on social media. And
that's something to think about.
And if you're shooting for social media, you need to be aware that.
But yes, composition of your image, and while keeping it the art form that it actually is still very important. Using rule of thirds and using how your eye travels through an image, especially framing or leading lines, are very important. And there's a ton of information that's out there.
Lots.
Very, very good YouTube videos on how to do that. And then you can take that knowledge that you've learned on the back end and then apply this to propel your images so much farther.
Well, I think, and when you begin to look at, like, Okay, let's look at a bunch of photographers on social media. And you've got your professionals. You've got your semi-pros. You've got your amateurs. You can tell that you're the professional shooters and the people who are getting hired to shoot professionally understand photography at a technical and artistic mm-hmm. level. Even though that their images may be constrained to a 1x1 or a 4x3, 8x10, 10x8, or even a 16x9, they still maintain a solid grasp on the fundamentals of photography. Mm-hmm. And you can see that. Just because you may be constrained by social media does not mean that you don't need to understand the elements of photography and what makes a good photograph. Because
correct. Incredibly important.
And you can, if you look, I'm sorry, I'm burped a little bit. If you look, you may not understand what you're looking at or why it's pleasing to you as a viewer, but some images just speak to you and others do not. And some images tell a story and some images draw your eye to where it needs to be, or some juxtapose or create tension or emit a feeling or an emotion or an experience.
And
they're not doing
that
accidentally. That doesn't happen by accident. Mm-hmm. Moments happen accidentally. But capturing those moments and showing off those moments does not happen accidentally. That skill is built through time, knowledge, understanding, and, you know, a little bit of instinct and a little bit of special sauce. But, like, you can't just go shooting a camera around and expect to get those kind of images. You need to develop an understanding of what makes an image good and strive for that, and you will get better images, and you'll start to separate yourself because you can tell people who are just shooting pictures and people who are creating images.
Well, you're being conscientious of what you're putting that image out to be.
Right.
You're being conscientious while you're shooting it, and that's the same. It ties incredibly well into everything that we just talked about. In your goal with that image is why you're shooting that. You're not just taking a picture. You're shooting with a purpose in mind and to tell the story and to make a feeling and to sell a brand, a product yourself, or just have something that people think about and look at and take more than 0.2 seconds to swipe through.
Yeah, and you can definitely feel, like, you could feel the impact. If you really, I think, me personally, I like to analyze how things affect me as a consumer of them and as an artist and
incredibly
as a creative.
Scary thought.
Well, as I'm scrolling through social media, as I'm watching a movie, as I'm doing these things, because I create stuff like that for a living, if something affects me, I want to know why. And I want to develop an understanding of what kind of things are affecting me. And how are they doing that? Why are
I
they
think
doing
that's
that?
That's a good point that people don't think about, is when they see something that they like, to analyze that and understand why they like that image, why they have that feeling. And I think that's what's made you very good at what you do. Because you have taken the time to understand somebody else's art form and why it made you feel like that, why you thought about this, why it was moving to you. And then you relay that into your own art form.
Yeah, and it's not always like I'm not sitting there for 10 minutes analyzing an image, but I go, I like that image. What do I like about it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, I like that, you know, I like the contrast. I like the form. I like... Mm-hmm. The composition, I like the scale, I like all these terms I'm throwing out there are not, like, these are things you could go search photography.
Essentially, they're the basics stuff. Of photography.
Right. But, like, if you go and you start looking on social media and you go look at the brands that you feel like are doing it right and the brands that are just putting out products, images of products, or they're just putting out pictures, and you start to analyze it, like, you'll see this, you'll find it. You'll find that the brands and the people Hot Girls Excluded, that's a entirely different, like, you know, that's a whole different
realm. That's not photography. No.
I understand. I'm just saying. I just wanted to throw that caveat in there.
I see what you're thinking about. Focus.
I'm a man, am I not?
Jury's out.
Jury's not out. Jury's not out. So that is a fact.
Anyway.
But look at what they're selling. Oftentimes, they're not selling... They are selling a product, obviously, in a literal sense. But on social media, they're not selling a product. They're selling the idea of an experience that that product can provide. Mm-hmm. I'm not selling you Sitka gear based on how good of the gear is. Like, I'm not... You don't see pictures of zippers and fabrics and just like, here's a camo pattern, right? What you're seeing is their gear in use.
Well, do you remember when that used to be like the marketing for camo patterns? And it would just be a picture of the camo pattern?
Yeah.
Just a square?
They used to be all marketing. Feature-based marketing. We are no longer in the era of feature-based marketing.
I am so happy.
We're now in the era of 2000s. Of experience and mm-hmm. arguably for some of the bigger brands, cultural marketing. But that... Cultural marketing has, like, you look at Nike. Nike is no longer, they, like, it's a whole other conversation. What I'm saying is that when you look at Sitka's Instagram page, you look at Yeti's Instagram page, they're not just showing you the cool parts of the product. They're not just being like, here's our product. Oh, here's some cool latches. No,
they're showing you it the product in a cool place with cool people doing right. cool stuff.
Because then you associate that product with that mm-hmm. experience. Like, oh, I want to do that. If I buy this product, I can do that. I could be like that. I could look like this. I could feel like this. I could experience this thing. And as a photographer, you want to understand that. Because while, yes, you probably do need to get just straight product imagery, what you also need to get is the images that will convey that to an audience. Mm-hmm. And that is a very hard, that's the harder thing to do. Again, it's easy to go take pictures of a water bottle. Yeah. I'm probably restating things. I'm sure I've said five times.
But that's why I keep saying it's, again, shooting with a purpose and that thoughtfulness. And that's exactly how you be successful as a photographer in this day and age. And in general. But that's, in particular with social media and what we're doing, you've nailed it. It's shooting with a purpose. And understanding what you're doing with that image and why you're shooting it and who you're shooting it for.
Yeah. I think that about wraps it up. Do you have anything else to add?
I think we've nailed it.
Beautiful.
The only thing I have to add is we have two slots left for our production class, August 3rd through the 7th, in this office. Hit us up. We need you. You need it. It's good for you. I work here because of it. Fun fact.
That is a fun fact. I enjoyed that fact.
Mm-hmm. But anyway.
A couple of comments on the YouTube. Nathan Winterstein, Winter Productions, said, should also point out that social media companies kind of control your creative with their guidelines when it comes to promoting photos. If it breaks rules, it can't be removed. Yeah. It is important to understand
again
when you're creating content what you can and cannot show.
That's the back-end both, research of what yeah, you're shooting. And
both the technical guidelines of the platform and, you know, the rules of the platform. Like on TikTok, you can't show dead animals. Mm-hmm. Just know that. You'll either find it out or you'll figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, and we could sit here and talk about how much we hate that, but the reality of that situation in my mind is...
I don't hate that at all.
You just have to play by their rules.
It's reality.
They have the platform. You play by their rules. We can talk about it, but there's nothing you can do about it. So just understand that. Play by the rules. Caleb says, I'm done with my edit now. So I, quote, enter the chat.
Okay. That wasn't really relevant.
Cool story, bro. Thank you. You could have just came up here.
All right. Do we got anything else that's actually relevant instead of Caleb?
No, I just wanted to make sure that I mentioned that since he does sign my checks.
Hmm.
You know, like how when you maybe, I have never done this, but if like you had a stream and people were sending you money, mm-hmm. and you'd be like, thanks, Keegan, for the tip of 10 Keegan coins.
Do you spend a lot of time on OnlyFans?
None, actually.
Sounds like you do.
There's like 75 platforms where that happens. It's not the only one, but I just have a general knowledge of society.
We just keep circling back to this.
We didn't. You circled back to it. You circled back. I wasn't circled back. You did. Mm. Do you?
No, I'm...
Okay.
I don't have that much time.
No.
I'm on social media.
Exactly. But, you know, I mean,
but
that's
hey,
the equivalent of him...
Hey, if we need to start a Redneck Tech OnlyFans, let us know. It'll only be information and knowledge-based.
I will take my socks off.
What? You don't have
that's
to take
all.
Anything off. You could just be educational. And...
I don't know if that's the platform for
all
that.
All right, and with that...
Yeah, with that... Nathan said his internet crashed. Well, this podcast is about to crash because I'm going to end it. Segue. I don't know how to get out of here. Like, I don't know what to do on the YouTube. This is the first time I've done
this.
All
right. Well, we're going to end the audio and then we'll figure out the rest of our life.
Oh, I can do it this way. Beautiful. See y'all.